Lots of people are looking for work as the economy improves, but it is by no means assured that jobs and workers will find each other. Witness the report in the news last month that showed nearly half of all jobs went unfilled in Oregon last year. That prompted concern about how to provide workers with skills so they'd better match up with the jobs out there. The concern translates into a town hall meeting coming tonight to Ashland, 7 o'clock at the Rogue Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. It includes and is probably organized by Ashland State Representative Peter Buckley, a Democrat, who is our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange today. Peter Buckley, thanks for joining us once again.
Great to be here, Jeff.
Are you one of the organizers? Do we have that part right?
Yeah, actually, Senator Bates is the one who's taken lead on this and has gathered folks together to have this conversation.
So about a month ago, and you're probably aware of this, was this actually the genesis for what's happening tonight, this Employment Department report about the jobs going unfilled?
Yeah, that was really the kind of final push. Bates and I have been having conversations for a couple of years now with different employers in the region, with Rural Community College and Southern Oregon University personnel as well, trying to figure out, you know, what is this problem that we keep running into? What is this gap? What is the exact nature of this gap between the workforce that is needed and the jobs that are available? And so tonight is another step in trying to have that conversation, figure out some specific steps we can take to close that gap.
Is this, in fact, the skills gap we hear about from time to time, where the jobs go unfilled because the workers don't have the training necessary to fill them?
That is definitely part of it. And there's a very interesting dynamic that goes back and forth there. You know, I get feedback from people via email once we sent out the notice about this forum. Some folks said, you know, well, yes, I have those skills, but I won't work for those salary levels that are being offered. So there's a little bit of a chicken and egg dynamic going on here of saying, are the jobs matching up both financially on one side and skills on the other side? You know, are we where we need to be on that level? And there's also even a different level entirely that simply says, are we developing a workforce that has the basic tools? And we started this program with the Career Readiness Certificate. So basically, folks joining the workforce, young folks joining the workforce, can verify to employers, yes, I have the following skills. They've been verified through my high school education or with other programs I've done in the community. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to focus on that gap.
When we talk about basic skills, what are some of those?
You know, some of the basic skills are, you know, do you have basic people skills? I mean, do you show up on time? Do you have the ability to show up on time? Do you have the ability to deal with other people, solve problems with other people? Can you take a direction and go with it? I mean, just basic workplace skills that are needed in pretty much any workplace.
It probably wouldn't surprise you, Representative Buck. I don't know if you had a chance to hear our previous segment. We were talking about the folks at Thumbtack.com about their survey of small business friendliness across the country. Ease of hiring got a D+ for Oregon.
Wow. Wow. That's
which is,
I wasn't listening. I'm kind of shocked at D+. I hate getting graded out like that.
Well, especially when California got a B-.
I know. Well, obviously, we've got to do better. We must do better.
Well, all right, so let's come back to what might be some of the root causes here. We hear about the skills gap, although I hear that refuted by some people. James Surowiecki, writing in The New Yorker several months ago, pointed out that it may also be employers being very picky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's what the email response I got when we sent out the notice. I had several people say, hey, you know, here's my work history. And, you know, I'm 38 years old, and I've worked for years, and I've always done very well. And yet I can't seem to get a job here unless they accept a significant reduction in salary and benefits, et cetera. So that there's this dynamic, I think, that has to be addressed and looked at on both sides of the equation, the employer and the employee side.
I would think that that trend in wages in particular would coincide pretty well with the time you've spent in office. You must have been hearing that for several years now, the stories of people who worked at salary X for many years, and once that job kicked them out, they ended up having to take another job that was salary X minus 20%.
Absolutely. You know, the recession, it just has kind of shifted everything in many negative ways. And we have I deal with a lot of people who are hit very hard. You know, we went through the whole foreclosure crisis that we're still coming out of. And as the economy revives, there's still this kind of shift to say, what level are wages going to be moving forward? I think that's why you see so much energy around minimum wage right now. People are simply saying, where are we as a workforce and as a society in regard to our ability to work for a living?
Ashland State Representative Peter Buckley, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He'll be one of the hosts of a town hall meeting this evening at 7 o'clock at the Rogue Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship to talk about jobs and skills and workers and trying to get everything up to speed so where the workers can actually find jobs easier. State Senator Alan Bates also involved with this, and we'll get to the guest list in a moment. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about hiring and employment issues and perhaps things you've run across, some stories you can share with us. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, call 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. So what will the focus of the town hall tonight be, Representative Buckley?
Well, you know, we really actually do want to get a discussion going. Bates and I, as I mentioned, we've had meetings with employers. We had meetings with educators. We want public input as well, people's stories about what was it like when they were looking for work. What are they seeing in this process, and what can we do better? There are some areas that seem to have very clear consensus. We've started to invest more back into programs in high schools on career and technical education. And across the board, people think that's a good idea. Get the shop classes back. Get computer sciences into the high schools again. Try to get back to a point where younger people have a opportunity to explore different paths they might be able to go down, and that also helps prepare them when they move into the workforce to actually have some ability. My youngest son took a welding class at Ashland High School this past semester, and I think there's a strong push to getting those kind of like hands-on skills back in the education program. But we really want to hear from people. We want to hear from people saying, you know, at particular age groups, their demographic, what their struggles are, and try to come up with suggestions on how we can close this gap. There really should not be the problem where jobs are available and people need work, but we're not able to get the people into those jobs. We've got to figure out the way to get this done.
To contrast with you and your son's experience at Ashland High School, I followed my son to a meeting with a teacher a couple of years ago at Phoenix High School, and we walked past all the machines from the shop classes that were then locked behind gates because the shop class programs were not even going on at that time. As a legislator, you know, even the money issue, I think, speaks for itself, that it's always hard to find stuff to allocate separately. How difficult is it or not politically to be able to say we want to allocate this money just for things like shop classes when you got people screaming for let's improve math, let's improve science, et cetera?
You know, I think I was talking about this yesterday on a different subject with a group of people, but things get to a tipping point in the legislative process where all of a sudden, you know, people just get to a point where they say we simply have to. It doesn't matter what the kind of side issues are, we have to move forward. And career and technical education in the last couple years, Jeff, has become one of those tipping point issues. We put aside $10 million in the most recent budget to go forward with programs throughout the state with a goal of trying to get shop classes back into every school district by the end of this decade. And I believe the bill might have passed something like 58-1 in the House. It was strongly supported on both sides. Now we're at the point, at least in the Ways and Means process, where I have people who are harassing me for additional funding constantly into career and technical education because it's reached that point that people are so aware of the need of it.
Again, State Representative Peter Buckley of Ashland, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about matching up jobs and workers in the state of Oregon. Join us at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Representative Buckley, it seems like there are many efforts and programs already in existence. I mean, for example, if you go to the Oregon Employment Department website, you can see iMatch and other programs trying to get workers and jobs matched up. So, I mean, is something just not happening to get people to those programs? Are people not aware enough that they're there?
I think that is the mystery of it, Jeff, and then that's one reason why we're having forums like this trying to figure out what exactly is happening where, and the governor's been pushing on this kind of can we streamline our workforce development processes. We've gone through the community colleges for many years, and the community colleges are fantastic. They do great work, but still somehow we're ending up with this gap. We have the employment department. We have community colleges. We have specific programs that are run through different unions, for instance, on apprenticeship programs, etc. Somehow we still have a gap that has not been filled. And it's the feeling that it's a little bit more scattershot than it should be. If you look at other areas where we focused our energy on coordination, right now in early childhood education services, we're trying to coordinate around these regional hubs so that services to kids 0 to 5 are coordinated, and there is a comprehensive, inclusive process. We need to do the same thing now with workforce development. You know, are we coordinated properly with our K-12 system, community colleges, higher ed? Are we coordinated properly with the chambers of commerces and the businesses in our community? What there's a problem of coordination that exists right now that we have to resolve.
Do you think anybody's aware of what all the programs are? They never asked this because, for example, we had the boss at Southern Oregon Goodwill in here yesterday talking about her pending retirement. But Goodwill offers job training programs. You still have the Job Council. You got public entities like the Employment Department. So is anybody, to your knowledge, aware of all the things available in an area at a given time?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to, with the Jobs Council in particular and the work that they're doing, we're trying to basically survey everything that is in existence, you know, getting that person from their home into a job. You know, what are all the tools that are in play to try to make that happen or to get that to work? And so that's part of this effort, and part of the conversation tonight is about, are we clear on all the paths that are open? Are those paths coordinated? Is there work being done that's duplicative work that we could actually streamline? That's the process we're engaged in right now.
That meeting again tonight is at 7 o'clock at the Rogue Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on 4th Street in Ashland. Here's Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Oregon State Representative Peter Buckley.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, I had a small business for 30 years, and I can tell you how you could get people to get jobs, and it would work really good, but I bet it'll never happen.
Let's hear it.
Small businesses, when they go to hire somebody, they need to either have somebody that they can train to do something and that person will stay there so they can actually make some money off of them, or else they need to hire somebody that's already trained and that knows what to do. Well, the schools that people go to don't, when the person comes to you to get a job, they basically do not know how to do anything. And so you have to retrain them. They have all this school knowledge, but it's just school knowledge. It's not real knowledge. It doesn't work in a real business world. And small businesses can't afford to hire somebody that's maybe has talent but has no training. It takes 2 years, 3 years, 4 years to actually train that person. So if government wants to spend money, spend it on small business situations where a small company could come in and get enough money to train a person that person could work for them, and there would be a contract between the person, the government, and that business that would make sure that that person stayed there for a certain length of time, and it would make sure that that business met certain benchmarks that person did get trained.
So a contract, in essence.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for that, Dennis. Appreciate it. Representative Buckley, your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting idea. You know, we've had the Job Plus program. Was a program that's been in existence for a while where people actually would get, employers would get some compensation from the state unemployment insurance fund. The idea of using those dollars to try to actually get people to work rather than just, you know, send out unemployment benefit checks. And so those programs have a framework where the employer gets some compensation, the worker gets the training, the on-the-job training that they need. To my knowledge, so there's no commitment beyond a certain like 6 month period that individual stay with that job. Once they're trained, they might very well want to go on to a higher paying job. And I know that's an issue that small business has to deal with. How do they train and retain workers? I appreciate this push from Dennis because this is exactly the type of story and proposal that we need to get on the table.
Here's another call from Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with State Representative Peter Buckley.
Well, hello. I was going to comment on music and art, but first I want to say something about business. I think that it's important if people are going to be successful at small businesses to learn what it takes to make a small business. Some of the basics to be learned in high school, like accounting and balancing a checkbook, and also learning how to do taxes. That was a very big barrier for me. And I was good in math, but I didn't get channeled with it. You know, I was a girl, and they didn't think girls needed to know math. But anyway, we know differently now. Art and music. I believe that art and music open up different areas of the brain and would enhance any of these other trades in any running of a business. In music, you learn to think lengthy thoughts, much like mathematical equations, without interruption, without fragmentation, which is what a lot of the technology does to our brain. It interrupts, and it has snippets of information.
Okay, Julie, I think I got the idea here. I want to move along because we're running out of time here, and I want to give Representative Buckley a chance to chime back in. Julie, thanks for that call. So, Representative Buckley, this is a bit of a tug of war, I would think. You got, on one hand, people are saying, let's make sure we give real job skills to people in high school, and then you got people like Julie who are saying, well, music and art is good for the brain, too. It also makes good workers.
Well, and I don't think those are mutually exclusive at all. In fact, one of the governor's economic policy advisors told me a story of being at a conference with a lot of really hotshot young business people who were all doing startup companies, very successful. And the one thing they all had in common, after talking about it, is they all were in band or orchestra when they were in elementary school. So I think there is a definite tie in there. And I think it goes back to this effort not only to get the career and technical education programs back in schools, but we have to get the music programs back in schools. We have to have the arts as well. That gets the well-rounded individual that can, that's able to be trained by a small business person like Dennis, who will get somebody who is able to solve problems, able to stick with tasks, etc.
So the town hall tonight includes, we didn't even get to the guest list, but it includes the president of Rogue Community College, people from the Job Council, So Ready, Express Employment Professionals, school districts, you name it, all these people on the guest list tonight at the town hall in Ashland, 7 o'clock at the Rogue Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on 4th Street in Ashland. Senator Alan Bates and Representative Peter Buckley will be leading it up. Peter Buckley has been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Jeff.